Well, here's the situation. For a long time now, since really last September, I've been taking the news regarding Comet Ison. It's the C2012S1. Ison is the name of the comet. And the stories, as the story broke the 21st of September 2012, that there was a new comet, of course, I was interested and started looking into it, see what was going on. But right out of the chute, everything started looking weird. A lot of strange things. So naturally, I just kind of kept my ear to the rail. And the level of strangeness has just grown beyond proportion. NASA began very early on saying this would be the comet of the century, possibly the millennium. And that's saying quite a bit, because we've seen some big comets over the last 1,000 years. The great comets, there's one probably every 50 years, a really, really big comet. There are some major comets, like the Great Comet of 1680, but they're claiming that this could rival any and all of those. So it's like, well, where are they getting this information from? And so every time they come out and say something or present new information, it just turns out to be more bizarre than the first statement. But let me just kind of start out with some of the early things. It was announced on September 21st, 2012, which is the fall solstice, which is kind of a strange day to announce a comet that had been discovered actually a number of days earlier. So the question is, with a comet that's clearly out a little bit beyond the orbit of Jupiter, something that any amateur could discover, why did they wait? And then the question is, how long did they really wait before announcing this? And then the other very strange thing, which was pointed out by a listener, was that they didn't name the comet after the so-called discoverers. The Ison Institute is an observatory in Russia. It houses an automated telescope system that looks for near-Earth objects and comets and objects like that in the solar system. So throughout all of their history for asteroids or other discoveries, they've always named the objects after their discoverers. In the case of Comet Ison, they did not, which is seems very strange. They noted in the initial announcement who had discovered it, but then you look back at the history of those people in that observatory in Russia who had made discoveries. For example, Comet Elenin was named after a guy named Elenin who works at the observatory. So this was the first time for these discoverers and the first time for the observatory to name it after the institute instead of the discoverer who works at the institute. So, you know, that's pretty strange. So, like I say, the laundry list of strange occurrences has just multiplied. So that's what I want to talk about today, and we'll go into all these various strange...
One thing you mentioned, Professor McCanny, is the size of the kernel, the central portion of the comet. The sizes don't make sense. You mentioned you think it's around 2,600 kilometers. That's considerably bigger than any of the other comets that have passed over the last number of centuries.
Well, yeah, and this is one of the big NASA lies. Is one of the huge lies from NASA is the size of comets. I mean, you've seen a big cloud around a comet, so you can't really see the nucleus from Earth. You can see them with radio telescopes, and so that's one of the bizarre things about comet research is why they are not using radio telescope measurements to accurately measure. They can get the tumble rate, the rotation, all kinds of properties about these comet nuclei with radio measurements, down to a tenth of a kilometer easily. So why are they, well, of course, taking the data, but why aren't they releasing the data? They have this second order expert gives an interpretation, and as in the case of Comet Ison, what they're saying is that, well, due to the dust production rate early in its discovery, it must have a nucleus of 5 kilometers across. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. 5 kilometers across, Halley's Comet, which was a little teeny comet, had a nucleus of 7 kilometers across, 2 kilometers bigger, and it was a teeny, teeny comet. So where is this 5 kilometers across coming from? See, they got to keep these small, but in their rush to lie and cover up, their left hand doesn't know what their right hand is doing. So right out, there's another very strange thing. The nucleus of Hale-Bopp, NASA says, was 42 kilometers across. I saw a picture of it when it was leaving the solar system, the nucleus of Hale-Bopp. It was about the size of a moon, and it had volcanic plumes coming off of it. So you can see that they're lying about the size of comet nuclei, and especially this one. The official size of comet Hale-Bopp, which was kind of a medium-sized comet, bigger than most, but very medium-sized, the official size was 42 kilometers. So the comet Ison with a 5-kilometer nucleus should be, you know, an eighth of the size or eighth of the production size in terms of tail material, an eighth of the size of Hale-Bopp. So why are they boasting this as being a comet of the millennium? You see what I'm saying? Nothing makes sense.
Now, are they doing that because they want to play it down? Because if this does cause, as it's going to pass very near the sun, 700,000 kilometers from the sun's surface in the inner heliosphere, the superstorm that's going to be created, if it's Earth-centric, it could be very damaging to the solar array of telescopes around the Earth and satellites, ground-based communications, and power grid. And it could crash civilization. It could be literally the kill shot. And that's why I'm very worried that a comet passing near the sun is the most likely triggering factor for a kill shot event.
Well, no, that's a great observation that leads us up to another one of these cover-up NASA stories. And, of course, you talked about that. I've talked about that in my early predictions. And, of course, throughout my whole history, one of the main things I do is observe comets near the sun, where they will send a spark-like exchange with the sun, and boom, out comes this massive flare. So NASA all along has been denying this. They say, oh, that's coincidence. And hundreds of times we've seen this, where a comet will come near the sun, and boom, out comes these major, major CMEs and events off the sun. But how can that happen from a little ice ball passing near the sun, when supposedly the nuclear fusion of the sun is down in the core? I mean, how does a little passing ice ball do this? Well, they had to deny it. So this passed about a month and a half ago, this guy from Israel. And mind you, when these cover stories come out, they always find some name guy to be the kind of the leader. You don't find Donald Yeomans of NASA JPL, who's a supposedly comet expert. You don't see the Goddard big-name comet guys. You see some no-name guy come out with this stuff, and it gets published. But this guy from Israel, a no-name guy, comes out, and he says his calculations show that an ice ball hitting the sun could cause a massive CME flare that could destroy our grid system. Well, of course, this is something I've been saying all along, but it action at a distance. The comet doesn't have to hit the sun. But do you see how they've created a cover story that would match with standard Tier 2 fairy tale science so that now an ice ball can come and hit the sun and cause a massive CME that would devastate our power grid?
Yeah, I'm going to make a few connections between that and some of the effects like this Boston massacre, because I think the government is scrambling with the financial system, with the control of the public, because they know that there are some serious events that may happen in the next few years, and they wanted to use it or lose it to control beforehand. What we're having is a scramble by the federal government, by rogue elements, to create a police state in America to literally turn every shopping center, every rail station, into literally a TSA screening zone. And the government's in a panic because they want to literally grab our guns. If they do, they can grab the front end of the gun, but the bullet will be coming out as the first part we're going to give back to them. And they need to know where this is not a threat, this is a promise. You start grabbing our guns, we're in a full hot civil war. And if you think you can take us on, you're crazy. You might even start an airborne plague, because I see H7N9, according to Chinese and other scientists, is definitely a bioweapon, 8 times faster mutating, 20% case fatality rate so far, We have other emerging viruses that we know are tweaked, including the novel coronavirus that emerged from the Hajj. I guarantee you that the global elite, who are running out of options on their banking system, that are worried about major events like a coronal mass ejection caused by a comet, they're in a panic to maintain control when the power grid and the satellites go down. And they know that if they don't get control and don't get their New World Order before that hard date, they're done. And that's why I believe this is why this event happened. This is another false flag, and other false flag events will continue, including the next thing I expect is a step up to a nuclear device going off at a major sporting event like Super Bowl Steve talked about 4 years ago. He might be late, but he may still be right. And I think that it's tied to things like these solar events, where we know comets are probably the most dangerous thing to pass in or near space, not because they hit the planet, because it could be 55 million miles away, but the action at a distance that you've researched is the most dangerous thing in terms of solar activity causing extinction-level events and sub-extinction-level events on Earth. These can cause some major problems to people. If we have a Carrington-style event, it could be the end of our civilization. That could be a very ugly end. It could be an end that actually makes the Dark Ages and the Stone Age look like going to the Sandals Resort compared to what it'll be like here in America and any Western nation if your power grid goes out and your satellite communications are gone. We're talking about a road warrior on steroids. I mean, road warrior would actually look like a kind of like a resort party compared to what will happen in actual fact.
Yeah. Dr. Bill, I wanted to mention another topic. And these are, like I was saying at the beginning, there's a whole laundry list of these stories that the JPL and the cover stories have come out with. But I mentioned the one about the ice ball hitting the sun and so-called somehow magically creates nuclear fusion in the core and causes this big flare to come out. Nobody explains how this happened.
Would you explain doesn't work either? I mean, first, if you have a nuclear reaction in the core, if you actually work out the nuclear physics, the time it takes for a photon of energy to emerge from the core, if that was the true theory, would be somewhere between 22 and 100,000 years. Those photons in the center of the sun do not emerge to the surface of the sun for 100,000 years. You have to have nuclear reactions occurring on the sun's surface like you've done, and no one else has countered your research. The problem is the tier one scientists who know the truth always want to undermine you by putting up reports to these agencies because they don't want the public to know what's really happening and what real dangers are present, and how with our current satellites like IRAS and the Stereostellar telescopes and their Chandra X-ray telescopes, how we could know all of these factors. If it became in the public domain, people could probably prepare properly, and politicians would make decisions to actually harden the grid against a CME knocking out the power grid. But instead of breaking it up or having proper preparation for the public, they're doing nothing. In fact, what they're doing is they're setting up for mass death, mass genocide, mass chaos is what they're doing.
Exactly. I wanted to recount another story here that just came out. Now, early in the comet Ison history, I started analyzing the orbit, and I made a whole laundry list of dates and predictions, and the last one, or one of the last ones, was January 12th of 2014. And I said, here's the situation. We're going to have Jupiter. We're going to have the comet up and behind us, just a little bit up and behind us, actually moving out away from the sun at that point. We're going to have Earth, we're going to have a new moon, and then we're going to have Venus, all electrically aligned. So basically, we have a cross-solar system electrical alignment, which is extremely significant. And I said, okay, now the comet is moving out towards Jupiter, and between us and Jupiter, and if it connects to Jupiter, then the sulfur dioxide from the Jupiter region of the solar system could come in. That's why Jupiter looks orange. It could come into the comet, and if we're electrically, it would go all the way into Earth, and we would see what the ancients talked about it. I called it the red hand of death, where the sulfur dioxide comes into the upper atmosphere and filters down. Okay, so I made this prediction. I said, also, we could very likely see upper level aurora activity. 2 days ago, NASA comes out with a no-name guy, comes out of the middle of nowhere and makes a prediction. He says, due to his computer modeling, special streams of dust-sized micrometeorites are going to leave Comet Ison exactly on January 12, 2014, two of these beams, these magical dust-sized particles from Comet Ison, will cross and come to Earth, and guess what they're going to cause? They could be visible from Earth as small dust-sized particles, and there could be some upper-level noctiluminescent cloud activity. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, they're always trying to steal your ideas and twist it, aren't they?
Yeah, it's that tier two twist.
But they're not wanting to tell people the truth about the danger of space weather without properly preparing. What's really going on, a lot of these things are important for the public to survive what's coming on, because the public needs to prepare for these things, whether it's financial, space weather, or any other disaster. And if they don't prepare, there's no preparation there for FEMA, which just totally takes over and tries to, I call it the Federal Emergency Magnification Agency. They just magnify the emergency. Professor McKinney, let's continue. You've got more issues to talk about today.
There are information or disinformation specialists that work at NASA, and one of the top guys there, his name is Tony Phillips, Dr. Tony Phillips, and I'm not sure what he's a doctor of, but he is their news media outlet specialist, and anything that comes out of NASA filters through this guy. And so basically it's molded, it's homogenized, it's blended with the Tier 2 NASA twist. And as I said, we need Chubby Checkers back to do the Tier 2 twist with me, with Tony Phillips, because that's exactly what's happening here. They are twisting and turning. And so this latest, it was came out April 19th, this latest article I was talking about, where the magical two streams of fine dust particles. Now, just listen to all the magical things that have to happen here. A meteor stream from a comet is typically very tightly associated with the orbit of this comet. But this meteor stream is not. We're nowhere anywhere near the orbit of this comet. But these are going to shoot out the front of the comet and come magically directly at Earth. And guess what? They're going to hit here January 12th, 2014, exactly the date that I picked to when I said that's when the red hand of death could begin. And that would be fine dust particles coming in from Jupiter. The article put out and screened by Tony Phillips of NASA says that also because of this, there could be noctiluminescent clouds up in the upper atmosphere. And what I said is there would be upper atmospheric auroras because we're attaching electrically to the comet, which is at that point getting behind us and going towards Jupiter. I said we could have weather situations, and so the way they end the article that NASA just put out is there could be all kinds of surprises. Now, what kind of prediction is that? All kinds of surprises. That
sounds like Chuck E. Cheese's. Sounds like anything happens, we knew about it, we take credit for it, but we can't tell you.
Right. But mind you, there's no method on the planet. How come other comets don't have this magical ability to shoot these fine dust particles out and hit Earth? No other comet has ever been able to do that. Why this comet? Now, get this. This is even more amazing. Now, this comet is going to swing around the sun and then come back. So the magical stream of particles coming from one side, they say that there's another stream of particles that's going to follow this comet around the sun, and those are going to come out and hit us on the very same day. So we're going to be hit from two directions. We're going to be in a crossfire of this fine dust. Now, what's the possibility that two streams of dust coming from totally different directions, coming from totally different paths, are going to hit us on exactly the same day, January 12, 2014.
Exactly, it's
absurd.
What is coming in are these big damn comets, and they really are a danger. You know, it's almost like you're in a fight with somebody. The problem is there's some hard dates. This Ison is going to pass in early November. We also have a danger window October of 2014. These things, if they do, could pass near the sun, and the action at a distance could cause a CME that could knock out our power grid, our satellite communications, and crash our civilization. I think also some of the behavior of the globalists, because if they don't bring down America, I mean, it would be very easy to solve the problem of terrorism. Terrorism is, quote, Islam.
My solution would be start deporting all Muslims from the country. Number two, anybody Muslim traveling here has to go through a separate security line. Total body ultrasound scan, not a terahertz scan, which can cause cancer, and we don't want to harm people. They have to have a body cavity search and have to have a sniffer dog sniff every object they have. Total body search, everything done, and have someone like an Israeli security officer ask 40 questions and count the beads of sweat in their forehead. The situation is it's only Muslims are doing this. We've had experts on the program talking about this. When anybody says that there's such a thing as moderate Islam, they're just stupid, okay? There's no other excuse for it. They're just stupid. And the secular pluralism is suicidal. It's being promulgated by our globalist leaders like Big Sister Napolitano, wants to expand the agency, and we have this false flag in Boston. But all these are tied back to the fact that they know they're, quote, extinction-level type events that could occur, like a CME. It's the same event like the Carrington in 1859 happened today. That event would be sufficient to knock our civilization back to the Stone Age or worse. And that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. Not something that's out of range of normal. We're talking about something that happened 140 years ago, 150 years ago, which is very possible. And we know that it happens when a comet passes by the sun. Period. That's so damn simple, it's ridiculous. You can even predict the danger window. So we don't know the mechanism exactly or which direction the thing is going to be pointed, but if they knew that something could happen, they're in a panic over it. And when they can't grab the guns, can't pass the background check, which is we know where your guns are so we can grab them, a bill, which is what they should call it, they're in a panic over the fact that the public are getting with it. They know that the bankers are criminals. The government now is in a total cabal with them. We have the fusion of transnational corporatism and world government and a new world order. Basically, it's called world fascism. And the new world order is not a future thing. It's something that's been developing and mutating over many years and centuries. And now it's at the point where it's ready to start consuming the citizens of the planet once it gets control. They're not going to get control of America. Ain't going to happen. They want to start something like an avian plague or another disaster so they can try to, with gradualism, get our guns. And in the stupid Democratic states that pass laws like New York State, I've challenged them to say, because there's listeners in New York State, if you start grabbing the guns of our veterans in New York State, you can expect to start losing officers that are SWAT team and special forces. And not only those officers, but you're going to start seeing the danger to many other, let's say, people that are literally violating the Constitution and attacking the citizenry, and you're asking for a hot civil war. You're going to get it, but it's one you're not going to control.
Dr. Bill, I wanted to mention another thing that I'm seeing with the comet data, and here's what's going on. There's a thing called an ephemeris, which is basically orbital data. It's a fairly complex set of numbers, and this is for comets. It's housed at a website with JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, NASA in California, and also at the Smithsonian, there's a depository for this data on comets and asteroids and any other object floating around out there.
Yeah, now what is the ephemeris? What is the ephemeris again? You mentioned it earlier in the hour.
Right. Basically, it's the data that tells you the orbit of an object out in outer space.
Right, so you'll know exactly where it should track.
Orbital data.
So if you didn't get that orbital data on the so-called Planet X or any orbital material going around Planet X, it's all ridiculous. Because something that big, we're talking about something that's a number of masses of the Earth, not just a little object. In fact, we know that the ISON comet you mentioned on the show is more likely around 2,600 kilometers across, not 7 or 6 kilometers. And that the action at distance will be very significant.
Here's what's going on, and I just started seeing this as I was working with these various Comet Lemon, which is now up in the morning sky, Comet Pan-STARRS, which was here a little while ago, Comet ISON, and then I started looking at other comets. They're changing the ephemeris on a daily basis, and so
you're kidding.
They'll change it by as much as 10 days of where these comets will be, first of all, so nobody can see them, but also to mess up any of my predictions, because I, of course, use this data, trusting it, for making predictions of alignments of other solar system events. They are now changing the data. So it's not available to mature.
Yeah, but that data wouldn't expect to change, because once it has a trajectory, it's extremely unlikely for the gravitational dynamics to change the trajectory and the velocity of these objects. So
it,
when
it might
the data,
change
you know,
by a few minutes or maybe at most an hour if something major happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But these are changing by 10 days, which is ridiculous, of course. So
it's beyond the range of normal variation in the database or change in direction or velocity that would make sense.
Right. And so the what's going on is, first of all, these are automated systems. When the data comes in, the data is entered into a system, it's number crunched, and it produces the orbital data in the ephemeris, which also tells you what position relative to Earth to look if you have a telescope, the right ascension and the other places to look for the object. And the time, etc. So the clock, is,
right.
All of this is contained in this data. They're changing it.
So this is the elements of a government cover-up. So, and one of my rules of a government cover-up, don't believe anything until you see a government denial. And by seeing the data changing, that's a government denial. It means denying you accurate and reliable data, twisting the data, or coming up with reports like these other scientists to try to pretend that they've apprehended your data and made your discoveries, which is late, and then twisted the consequences of that, or twisted in such a way that people can't believe you anymore, even though you're the originator of the original predictions based on a different scientific model. So this is another example of don't believe anything until you see the government try to deny it or cover up.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've got a number of pages of this, this type of articles that have come out, basically twisting and changing the concepts and even contradicting the old concepts of comets. Like they always denied that comets could affect the sun, and these are the standard major comet theorists from NASA. All of a sudden now, this guy from left field, who nobody's ever heard of, he doesn't have any history in the science industry with comets, and all of a sudden he's predicting that an ice ball can cause a big solar flare.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah, that's amazing. Definitely need to get back on next week. If you listen to your program, which is JMCCSCI.com, you do a weekly radio show. You hear back roughly every week or 2 weeks. We try to get you back regularly, Professor McKinney. You know, don't listen to these fools out there that are making things up on YouTube. We have real dangers that are going on, financial dangers that we talked about in the first hour with David Morgan, real physical dangers with Fukushima. Deal with reality, not dreams, not ideas that are not based in reality or real data.